This is Pastor Mike Ecclestone speaking, and I would like to welcome you to Heritage Baptist Church's online audio library. These messages are provided not as a substitute for the assembling of God's people, nor as a substitute for the regular reading of God's Word, but rather as a spiritual supplement for a deeper understanding of His Word. May He add His blessing as you listen.
Good evening. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 4. There'll be a lot in Hebrews and a lot in the book of Leviticus tonight. So you might want to keep a marker in somewhere in Hebrews. It'll be some different chapters. And then we'll also go a couple places, and then we'll end up in Leviticus, and then we'll kind of flip back and forth. So if you were here last Sunday morning, we spoke of Jesus Christ, the prophet. Remember that, if you were here? And how He is the prophet of Deuteronomy 18. He fulfilled all the requirements. And we compared some others that obviously failed to do that, and He's the only one. And tonight, we will take a look at another office that He holds, and that is Jesus Christ, the priest, or you could say the high priest. So Jesus Christ is the prophet, the priest, and the king. So somewhere down the road, we'll do the king, but tonight let's focus on Jesus Christ, the high priest. So take a look at Hebrews 4, and let's read verses 14 through 16. Starting at verse 14, Hebrews chapter 4, Bible says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." I like that. Verse 16, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Several passages here in Hebrews speak of Jesus Christ, the high priest. So we will take a look at His office and role as high priest this evening. So let's pray together. Lord, thank You for the truths that we can always glean from Your Word. We certainly count it a privilege every time we come here to open it, to study it, to hear it proclaimed and taught. And Lord, we want to just ask that Your work be done tonight. Your Holy Spirit, take these words, teach us things that we either need to see again or maybe we haven't learned yet. And also help us to apply these things, put them into action tonight, this week. And I just pray that You'd be glorified tonight. I pray that as we speak much of the Lord Jesus Christ, that His name be exalted, proclaimed as it should be, as the name above all names. And we ask all these things in His name. Amen. Okay, so I got to say a word about priests before we really dig into this. Currently in the news, unfortunately, you hear a lot about corrupt priests. So rather than rail and rail, I'll just read the statement that I actually put down in my notes, and then we'll move on. Modern day, quote, priests, end of quote, are usually thought of as wearing all black with a little white clerical collar. With all the recent corruption in the Catholic religion, I hesitate to say church, many are finally beginning to question the authority of these priests, quote, priests. The Catholic religion has simply taken something out of the Old Testament and corrupted it to fit their clerical hierarchy, so that the people are always second-rate and oblivious to what is really going on with the leadership. That's a true statement. So, folks, we have a high priest. There is no... The office of the leader of a local church is a pastor. The Bible calls it a bishop. Same thing. And he's not a priest. Okay? Different. The priests of the Old Testament had a different role than the pastor of a local church has. So we'll speak of that tonight. And hopefully I don't have to say anything more about the whole situation going on there with the Catholic religion. I think you'll get the idea. So with that, let's turn to Genesis chapter 14. And I want you to know that I said this the last couple times I've been up here, and as I've studied, I've thought about this a lot. You will not have a good grasp of the New Testament unless you read and study the Old Testament. There you go. And you will not have a good grasp of the Old Testament unless you read and study the New Testament. So let's start off here in Genesis, and I'll say more about that in a moment. Genesis chapter 14. I thought it would be a good idea to take a look at the first time that the word priest shows up in the Bible. Again, principle of first mention. And oh, is this one really interesting, especially where we're going with this tonight. So Genesis 14, if you take a look at verse 18, this is that situation. And right after, you remember Abram, his nephew Lot gets captured, and Abram raises up a militia, men trained in his own house, and he hunts down the men that stole Lot and rescues Lot. And then he brings them back. So this is right after that. So look at verse 18. This fella in 18 shows up out of nowhere. 14:18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. And he was the first time it shows up in the Bible. He was the priest of the Most High God. So this fella, Melchizedek, shows up right here. And he does not show up again until Psalms. And then he doesn't show up again until you get to the New Testament. Mostly, I think it's all in Hebrews, actually, in the New Testament. So, who is this fella? And I am not even going to spend a lot of time on this, because your guess is as good as anybody's. This is a mysterious character in your Bible, but he is somebody we need to take a look at for a moment. And just out of this verse, let's see what we can learn. First off, this Melchizedek is a king. Did you see that? King of all places. King of Salem. Do you know of a place that has S-A-L-E-M in the word? A modern day place? Jerusalem. That's interesting. King of Salem. Notice the second thing it says about him. It says Melchizedek brought forth two elements. What are they? This is long before anything in your Bible about the Lord's Supper. I mean, the Lord Jesus Christ has not come yet. He hasn't instituted any of these things that we celebrate today. This is long before. This is a long time before Christ. And we have a mention of bread and wine. Isn't that interesting? Think that might be some kind of connection with Jesus Christ? King of Salem? Bread and wine, right? And then the last thing here, he was the priest of the Most High God. So he's first priest mentioned in the Bible. So remember that, because we will refer back to him in a moment. Melchizedek, aside from all the other things in that verse, it's absolutely loaded. Just remember that he's priest of the Most High God. And he's the first priest mentioned in your Bible. Okay, so you got to get that straight first. And let's go over to Exodus. And let's learn something about priests in the Old Testament. So here's what I'd like to do. First point tonight. Again, this message is about Jesus Christ, our high priest. Exodus chapter 4. Jesus Christ, our high priest. So first point here tonight. Let's talk about Jesus Christ. Point number one, his preeminent origin. And before we actually get to Jesus Christ, I want to talk a moment about the Old Testament priest, and you'll see how this is connected. So after Melchizedek, you've got, there's some other priests in there. There's a priest over there in Egypt associated with Joseph. There's Jethro, the priest of Midian. And then finally you get over here to the priest of the Israelites. And just to show you this, I think you all know what I'm about to show you, but I want to give you Bible proof. The priests in the Old Testament for the nation of Israel served, and they were from a particular tribe. What tribe was that? Now, you all know that. Levi. You have a whole book in your Bible. Leviticus. We call it Leviticus. But L-E-V-I, right? And what that book is all about is it's the book of the priesthood. Because the priests come from the tribe of Levi. Now, just to prove that to you, and you need to make sure you get this, because we'll have to connect something here with the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Exodus chapter 4, verse 14. This is where the Lord, or Moses talking to the Lord here, going back and forth, and Moses claims to the Lord that he can't speak. So look at verse 14. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is not Aaron the what? The Levite, thy brother. And then in the verse he goes on to say that Aaron will be the one to speak for him. Okay, so I just show you that verse to show you that Aaron, from that verse, you get Aaron is from the tribe of Levi. Okay, I know you already knew this, but I want to prove it, show you from the Bible. Go to Exodus 28. Exodus 28. So remember, Aaron from the tribe of Levi. And let's see something here about Aaron. Okay, Exodus chapter 28, verse 1. And the Bible says, and take unto thee Aaron thy brother, and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the what? The priest's office. Even Aaron, and here's his sons, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. Okay, so Exodus 4:14, Exodus 28:1, Aaron is the Levite, and Aaron is to be the priest, right? And he's actually the first, if you know this, the first high priest of Israel, right? And the high priest in your Old Testament served until, anybody know? How long did they serve? Did they have a term that they served? Or did they get to a certain age and they couldn't serve anymore? They served until they died, all right? And keep that in mind, too. That's important. So I just tell you there that the priests in the Old Testament, all the priests in the Old Testament from the nation of Israel are from the tribe of Levi. Okay, let's get this. All priests in the Old Testament from the nation of Israel are from the tribe of Levi. Okay, now get that. Now, we saw in Hebrews 4, we started out, it said that we have a great high priest. And we kept going there, and it told you who it was. Who's the high priest? The Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you were here last week when we talked about the prophet, Jesus Christ the prophet, and you all know this already, but we showed this, he's from the tribe of Judah. Do we have a problem? For Jesus Christ to be the priest, the high priest, and not from the tribe of Levi, does that present us with a problem? Let's find out. Go to Hebrews chapter 6. Okay, so a lot of turning back here from the next few minutes here from Hebrews to Leviticus. So Hebrews 6 to start off with. Hebrews 6. So if you read the book of Hebrews, you will be lost in a lot of places unless you're familiar with the book of Leviticus. And if you know the book of Leviticus and the book of Hebrews, you put those things together, it's as if the book of Hebrews is the New Testament counterpart to the Old Testament book of Leviticus. So again, I know you get to Leviticus in your Bible reading, you want to skip it. I understand. Don't skip it. You'll get some things in there, just from reading through there, that will make some things make a lot more sense when you get to Hebrews. All right? So what we're trying to do here is answer the question. Is it a problem for Jesus Christ to be considered the high priest when he's not from the tribe of Levi? So let's take a look. Hebrews chapter 6. Look down there at verse 18. We'll put some pieces together here. Verse 18, Hebrews 6:18, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Okay, what is that hope? Here we go. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Whither the forerunner is for us entered, even who? Jesus, made and high priest forever after the order of who is that? It's not Levi. It's Melchizedek. And we saw who Melchizedek was. Folks, Melchizedek was before there was a nation of Israel. In Genesis 14, there is no nation of Israel. Abram's around, but you don't have Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then the 12 tribes. It's not around yet. So here you have a man, Melchizedek, that Jesus Christ is a high priest after his order and not from the tribe of Levi. Okay, let's keep putting the dots together here. Go to chapter 7, Hebrews 7. Go down there to verse 11. Is it a problem? Again, we're answering. Is it a problem for Jesus Christ not to be from the tribe of Levi? Look at 7:11. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should arise after the order of who? There he is, Melchizedek. And not be called after the order of Aaron. Okay, so let's stop here. We'll read some more. But in verse 11, it mentions the order of Melchizedek as well as the order of who? Aaron. So from that verse, verse 11, you get there are two different priestly orders. And we'll keep going here, and you'll see that the order of Aaron, the Levites, is no longer necessary because someone greater has come, and he is from the order of Melchizedek, that being the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's keep going. Verse 12. For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe of which no man gave attendance at the altar. Look at 14. It's interesting. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of... What tribe is that? Yeah, he was born from the tribe of Judah. Of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood? Hey, here's the answer to our question coming. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there riseth another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. Now look at verse 16, you got a contrast. The law of a carnal commandment versus the power of an endless life. Which is better, folks? The power of an endless life. So the contrast there, the law of a carnal commandment, there's your tribe of Levi. The power of an endless life, there's the order of Melchizedek. There's your Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 17, for he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of, not Levi, Melchizedek. See, if you miss who that Melchizedek is over there in Genesis, you realize he's a very unique character. All this stuff in Hebrews doesn't make a lot of sense. But you understand now that that order of Melchizedek is something special. It's better than the order of Levi. All right? Verse 18. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by which we draw nigh unto God. So again, that's what Jesus Christ did. So the first point here, Jesus Christ, his preeminent origin, he is not from the tribe of Levi. Therefore, he is not associated with the Levitical priesthood. In fact, take a look at Hebrews 10. Look at the problem with the Levitical priesthood. Why did the Lord Jesus Christ have to come along and be from the order of Melchizedek? What was wrong with the Levitical priesthood? Let's go over to Hebrews 10. Let's find out. Verse 1, Hebrews 10. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can, what's that next word? Never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. Okay, let me ask you this before we go on. Did the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on my behalf and on your behalf make you perfect in the sight of Almighty God? Yeah. The Old Testament Levitical priesthood couldn't do that. So one of the main themes in the book of Hebrews is that the sacrifice made by Jesus Christ is far better than that of any sacrifice offered in the Old Testament. Okay? The sad thing is there will be a day when the temple is rebuilt in Jerusalem in the future, real soon maybe. You know what they'll begin to do? Offer sacrifices. Blood will be shed. And they missed the fact that somebody came after a better order, the order of Melchizedek, and already offered the ultimate sacrifice. And it can't be topped. You can't top. The ultimate's been there. How are you going to beat that? You can't. Once for all. There you go, Brother Joe. Verse 2. For when they would not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. So it's kind of like this. You know, that the high priest, we'll look here in a minute, he'd go into the most holy place on the Day of Atonement once a year to offer sacrifice on behalf of the whole nation. And then a year later, guess what he's doing? He's offering it again. And then a year later, guess what? Again, and a year later. And this thing continues on. And it doesn't have to continue on because of what Jesus Christ did. All right, look at verse 4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. See, those were all temporary coverings for sin in the Old Testament until the real priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, came along and made his sacrifice, the greatest sacrifice, all right? So that's a little bit about his preeminent origin. So conclusion on this point, Jesus Christ does have the credentials to be our high priest because he's from a better order, not from Aaron, not from the Levites, but from the order of who? Melchizedek, okay? So there's a little bit about his preeminent origin. All right, now, let's get to point number two here. Doing pretty good. Point number two, and it's not even 7 o'clock yet. This is rare. His perfect offering. Now, go back to Leviticus. So this will be a lot of turning back from Leviticus and Hebrews here. So his preeminent origin. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 9. and let's discuss his perfect offering. I already kind of mentioned that, but let's get a little more on it. His perfect offering. Folks, the whole point of this message is to show you how great our Lord Jesus Christ is and how great an offering he made when he made an offering on behalf of sinners, such as everybody in this room, all of us. Okay, hopefully this will make you appreciate your salvation. Yeah, Leviticus 9. And let's take a look here about when the Levites, and this is actually going to be Aaron, whenever they made an offering on behalf of the people, there's something that was required on their behalf first. So you got to really watch the wording here. So take a look at Leviticus 9. Here's the counterpart to Hebrews in the Old Testament. Leviticus 9, verse 6. And Moses said, "This is the thing which the Lord commanded that you should do, and the glory of the Lord shall appear unto you." So something was required before the glory of the Lord would appear. Let's see what that was. Verse 7. And Moses said unto Aaron, "Go unto the altar and offer," it's our next word after offer, "thy sin offering." Who's that sin offering for? This is Moses addressing Aaron. He says, "Go and offer thy sin offering." So what's being said here is Aaron had to offer, make an offering on his own behalf before he could do anything for the people. Now, you see a contrast already between him and Jesus Christ? Okay, Aaron had to make an offering for himself because Aaron was no better than those Israelites. He needed a sin offering for himself before he could go in and do the work on behalf of the people. So watch what it says here. "Offer thy sin offering and thy burnt offering." It's for Aaron. "And make an atonement for" who? See, Aaron had to make an offering for himself first. And then it says, "and for the people. And offer the offering of the people and make an atonement for them as the Lord commanded." So let's see what Aaron does here. Verse 8. "Aaron therefore went unto the altar and slew the calf of the sin offering," which was for who? That had nothing to do with the people. This is an animal that's slain for Aaron only. You know why? He had to be pure and clean before he could do anything on behalf of the people before God. If Aaron did not have a sacrifice for himself before he appeared for the people have no offering. See, the priest had to be clean before he went in there himself. The priest had to have an offering for himself. All right? So look what happens here. Verse 9. "And the sons of Aaron brought the blood unto him, and he dipped his finger in the blood and put it upon the horns of the altar and poured out the blood at the bottom of the altar. But the fat and the kidneys and the caul above the liver of the sin offering he burnt upon the altar as the Lord commanded Moses, and the flesh and the hide he burnt with fire without the camp. And he slew the burnt offering, and Aaron's sons presented unto him the blood which he sprinkled round about upon the altar. And they presented the burnt offering unto him with the pieces thereof in the head, and he burnt them upon the altar. And he did wash the inwards and the legs and burnt them upon the burnt offering on the altar." Now, that was all just for guess who? That was just for Aaron. All that was required in those verses we read there, 9 to 14, was just for Aaron before he could perform the service on behalf of the people. Now look at verse 15. "And he brought the people's offering and took the goat," which was the sin offering for the who? The people, "and slew it and offered it for sin as the first." I go on to show you, before Aaron could do anything for the people, he himself, being a sinner, had to have an offering for himself. Now remember, this is the Levitical priesthood. This is how it works. Now, contrast. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. Keep your finger there in Leviticus. We'll be back. Hebrews chapter 7. And let's see how that not compares, but contrasts with what Jesus Christ did. Remember, we already determined Jesus Christ is not from the tribe of Levi. In fact, his origin is better than that of the Levites. Folks, isn't he eternal? Yeah, he has an eternal origin. I don't think you would say an eternal origin, because he has no origin if he's eternal, right? He also has a connection with you and I, being born of a woman, though, right? So there's human and divine. Only the Lord Jesus Christ is like that. Okay, look at Hebrews 7:26. "For such an high priest became us, who is," now let's take each one of these, "who is holy." Was Aaron holy? Not unless he had a sacrifice for himself first. "Who is harmless." How'd Aaron measure up there? had to have a sacrifice for himself. Undefiled. Aaron was defiled, that's why he had to have a sacrifice for himself. Separate from sinners. Aaron was a sinner, that's why he had to have a sacrifice for himself first. And made higher than the heavens. Aaron lived on earth. Aaron was a man of the earth. And that is not the same as the man mentioned in verse 26. That's mentioned in a high priest. That's Jesus Christ. Look at verse 27. More contrast. Who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he, this is Jesus, for this he did once when he offered up who? Himself. Okay, so you see what happens here? I told you that the Old Testament, Day of Atonement, every year, offered the sacrifice on behalf of the people. Oh, first off, Aaron had to offer the sacrifice for himself, then for the people. Next year, 365 days later, Aaron goes in, sacrifice for himself, sacrifice for the people. Next year, same thing. Aaron dies, the new high priest, same thing. Year after year after year. How many times are they doing this? I mean, hundreds and hundreds of times, right? What does verse 27 say? For this he, Jesus Christ, for this he did how many times? Once, when he offered up, not an animal, himself. You see how his offering is perfect? It's a one-time deal. That's it. That was all that was necessary. So here's a huge difference between the Levitical priesthood and the priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, go on down there to Hebrews chapter 10. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. We'll read a little bit more. We were here a minute ago, but let's go on down to Hebrews 10. More on this, verse 9. There's so much in Hebrews about Jesus Christ as high priest. There's so much in this book. So we're just barely getting to just a few verses here. And I'm going to read quite a few in Hebrews, but there's a whole lot more. Hebrews 10, look at verse 9. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. And this would be the Lord Jesus Christ. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Last three words. Once for all. I got those underlined in my Bible. See, his sacrifice is better because he didn't have to offer it again. I got to go back to this Catholicism thing. What are they doing every time they have a mass? Another offering. It's another offering and another offering. That's why when you see the pictures of Jesus Christ in a Roman Catholic facility, I'm not going to say. You know what you see? You see the Lord Jesus Christ. Still on the cross. It's a continual thing. All right, folks, what does your Bible say? Not the Pope, not the priest. What's the Bible say? Once for all. You ex-Catholics that are here, you love that. You should love that. All right? And if you're not an ex-Catholic, you still love it. Because if you're an ex-Catholic, you know what that junk's all about. And you know it didn't do anything for you. But this, so much better. Because it actually can save you. That's a bunch of nonsense what they do over there with the waving that thing around and saying that's the body. Come on. Come on, the body of Christ and a piece of bread. Come on. Anyway, look at verse 11. And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can, what's that next word? Never take away sins. That's your Old Testament Levites. Never take away sins. Look at verse 12. Contrast. But this man, after he had offered, what's that next word? One sacrifice for sins. Next word, forever, sat down on the right hand of God. You know why he sat down? I think I mentioned this before. You study that Old Testament tabernacle. There's no chair. There's no seat in the tabernacle. Because when the priest entered in the tabernacle, they constantly had something to do. They're always working. And, you know, they go offer the Day of Atonement. They offer the sacrifice for themselves first and for the people. They couldn't sit down because the next year they had to do the same thing again. When they entered in there, there was constantly something to do. So there's constantly work to be done. And the work was never finished, never done. But the Lord Jesus Christ, what did he say on the cross? It is finished. And now he can sit down. No more work to be done. That's why it's a bunch of nonsense. It's so much nonsense for me and you or anybody to say, you got to do something to be saved. The work's already done. trust the one who did the work. And even he sat down because the work's finished. No, really, the work is done. So why are we trying to work when he did it? Oh, man. Maybe see, you read the book of Hebrews and you know a little bit about the Levites in the Old Testament. So much better what Jesus Christ did. All right, look at verse 13. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Look at 14. For by how many? One offering he hath perfected. How long? Forever them that are sanctified. Hallelujah for that, man. Amen. All right, so there's a little bit about his perfect offering. Last point, 7 o'clock, and I'm point number 3. Miracles do take place. Leviticus 16. Thank you, Lord. Leviticus 16. So we've got his preeminent origin. He's not from the tribe of Levi. He's from a better order. Melchizedek. His perfect sacrifice. Oh, way better than those Levites offered. I'll tell you, I'll give you a reference to look up. We had time. We'd go there. Acts 20:28. You find out about the offering he made. It said that the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood. So the blood offered by Jesus Christ is the very blood of the Lord God Almighty. I can't quite wrap my brain around that. How are you going to offer a better sacrifice than that? All right, last point. His present office. So his preeminent origin, his perfect sacrifice, his present office. Leviticus 16, look at verse 29. And again, we're going to contrast here. This is the Old Testament Levites. Look at 16:29. And this shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, ye shall afflict your souls and do no work at all, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger that sojourneth among you. So what I will read here a few verses down is what they were supposed to do once a year on the Day of Atonement. So look at verse 30. For on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you to cleanse you, that ye may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. It shall be a Sabbath of rest unto you, and you shall afflict your souls by statute forever. Verse 32. And the priest, whom he shall anoint, and whom he shall consecrate to minister in the priest's office in his father's stead, shall make the atonement, and shall put on the linen clothes, even the holy garments. And he shall make an atonement for the holy sanctuary, and he shall make an atonement for the tabernacle of the congregation, and for the altar, and he shall make an atonement for who? The priest had to have an atonement. And for all the people of the congregation. And this shall be an everlasting statute unto you to make an atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins. How often? See, you already see the contrast. Jesus Christ, once for all. Old Testament Levite, once a year. Once a year, and he did as the Lord commanded Moses. So I want to give you a little picture of this. So, Pastor, if you don't mind coming up here, I'll show you something here. This is what the high priest did on the Day of Atonement. So we will pretend Pastor is the high priest, Old Testament, okay? And if you'll stand right here in front of the tape for just a moment, Pastor. Okay, so let's say that Pastor, on behalf of all, we'll say you're all the Israelites out here in the congregation, he goes in to the holy place, which we'll say is right here in front of the table, and then he's got to go a little further because you got the holy place and then you got the most holy place. So he goes a little further. So as he comes, come up here on the platform, Pastor, if you'll stand. You just kind of stand right there and then just face that direction right there. So here we go. The high priest here is standing in between the congregation of the Israelites and the presence of Almighty God in the most holy place. Ark of the Covenant is there, okay? So do you understand that this man is in the middle? You got to get this. Israel, high priest, Almighty God. He's going on behalf of all the nation of Israel. All right, he is, you could say, the middleman, or better Bible word, the mediator. You see, that high priest, he bore the sins of all the people when he went in there. He bore the burden, I should say, the sins. He had a lot of responsibility, I'll just say that. He couldn't take the sins on himself, obviously. But you understand, I want you to get the picture here. Israelites, high priest, Almighty God. Here's the man in the middle. Thank you, Pastor. Now, to keep that in mind. All right? Now, let's contrast here. Go over to Hebrews chapter 7. I'll tell you what, let's before we go there, let's go to Romans chapter 5. Go to Romans chapter 5. I don't know if you noticed over there, we kept seeing a word there in that Leviticus passage in 16. Kept showing up over there. Atonement. Atonement. The Day of Atonement. Once a year, right? Go to Romans 5. Look at verse 11. Actually, go to verse 10. We'll do 10 and 11. Romans 5, 10 and 11. 5, 10. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of who? His Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Verse 11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the what? No Old Testament Levite priest needed. A better one has stepped in. He became the atonement. He didn't just offer up a sacrifice, an animal sacrifice as the atonement. He is the atonement. Okay, so go over to Hebrews chapter 7, and let's take a look here. So remember, keep that, and before we read here, we'll go to 7:23 in a minute. But keep in mind, we had Israel, high priest, Almighty God. You had a man in between there that you could say a good Bible word here, you'll see, interceded on behalf of the people before Almighty God. Intercede means to go in between. You're basically going from here to there on behalf of those people. So that high priest was the representative to those people before Almighty God. All right, now watch this. Hebrews 7, 23. And they, 22 actually, 7:22. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. In your Bible, you got an Old Testament? You got a better testament than that. I love the Old Testament. New Testament's better. Because it's the blood of Jesus Christ that brought that about. All right? Testament's not enforced until there's a death of a testator. Hebrews 9. So Jesus Christ brought about a better testament. Okay, look at verse 23. And they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. Those Levites, they died and somebody else took over. But this man, Jesus Christ, but this man, because he continueth how long? Ever. Hath an unchangeable priesthood. You see why it's better? It never stops. 25. Oh boy, this is an amen verse. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the what? You got any uttermost in here? I'll raise my hand. Far away at one time? To the uttermost that come unto God. Next two words. By him. How do you get to God? You got to go through the Son. You got to understand what he did for you so you can have access to Almighty God. By him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Folks, you know what Jesus Christ's present office is? Right now, today, at this very moment, you know what he's doing right now? He is interceding on behalf of everybody who is saved. That means he is appearing before Almighty God. Isn't he in heaven? He's appearing before Almighty God on my behalf and on your behalf, anybody who's saved on their behalf. That is called his ministry of intercession. A little bit on that. Go to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24. A couple things on this as we wrap up. Hebrews 9:24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into, where did he go? Heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Who appears before God on my behalf, on your behalf, if you're anybody who's saved? Who does that? The Lord Jesus Christ. See how much better that is than anything in the Old Testament? Under the Levitical priesthood? So much better. Go back to chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. We started here. This will probably make a little bit more sense now that we've covered some other ground. Hebrews chapter 4. Look at verse 15. 4:15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are. Last three words. Yet without sin. Could they say that about the Levitical priests? Only one priest can claim to be tempted in all points, yet without sin, the Lord Jesus Christ. I love that verse because He knows the difficulties that we experience because He became flesh and blood. He knows the difficulties. He had the same temptations. He just didn't give in to temptations. Remember the temptation in the wilderness? Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. He just didn't give in. He fought the right way with the Word of God. And he didn't fail because he fought with the Word of God. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God, right? Okay, so look at verse 16. His present ministry. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. If you're in time of need, somebody appears before God on your behalf anytime. Any time of day. Think about it. In the Old Testament, the priest is asleep. He can't do anything for you. Now the priest never sleeps. The priest can go to God the Father on your behalf any time of day. Anytime. And you need help. It says, find grace to help in time of need. Was that this past week you had that? That was for me. How about this week? You going to need that? That's a great verse right there. You'll need that this week. I'll need it this week. So his present ministry is that of going before God for us. That's called intercession. No more man in between all the people and Almighty God. It's actually the man, God in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ, on my behalf before Almighty God. So much better. So much better. And it doesn't have to keep happening over and over again with that sacrifice offering. It's already done. Perfect offering. Okay, a couple things in closing here. Romans chapter 8. I'll tell you to write down John 17, and with this idea in mind, you'll want to read John 17. That is the real Lord's Prayer, as Pastor often mentions. And you know who Jesus Christ prays for in John 17? He prays for us. And if you see what he prays for, you'll get a better idea. If we had time, we could go there, but we're getting out of time. You'll get a better idea of what his ministry of intercession is all about. He prays for our sanctification. Okay? He prays for some specific things on our behalf right now, today. And you'll see what he prays for on your behalf. You go over to John 17, but let's go to Romans 8 here. Just get a little bit more on this. Romans 8, 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh what? Intercession for us. And then you have the great verses there that follow. And can anything separate us from the love of Christ? And the answer is no. You know why? Here's God the Father, there's Jesus Christ on his right hand interceding on our behalf. You can't be separated. If you know the Son, you can't be separated from the Father. The Son won't cast you out either. I mean, it's the greatest truth. All right, here now, I'll give you a little picture of this. This is pretty deep, but this is fun. Go to Matthew chapter 14. We'll end here. Matthew chapter 14. So it's really neat to me how God throws these little pictures in your Bible. And I miss this so many times. And then I heard a teaching on this, and I was like, how did I miss that? So as you go through the Gospels, you obviously get the life of Jesus Christ. Let's read a few verses here, and what you will get here, this has to do with his present ministry, but you will get a little bit about Jesus Christ when he was here the first time. You'll get a little bit about Jesus Christ right now, and a little bit about Jesus Christ in the future as you read this. This is phenomenal. Folks, I go here to close because only God could put a book together like this that has this in the midst. It's like this is a narrative within a narrative about the past, present, and future ministry of Jesus Christ. Phenomenal. Look at 14:22. Matthew 14, verse 22. And straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. So right before verse 22, he fed the 5,000. All right? And what does he do now? He sends away his disciples. Okay? And look what happens in verse 23. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a, you've got to get this, where did he go? Into a mountain apart to do what? To pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. So there was a time when Jesus Christ walked the earth. He had 12 disciples and had many others that followed him, many that rejected him. And then there was a time where he ascended up into heaven, Acts chapter 1, right? And he began his ministry of intercession, which goes on today on our behalf. So, folks, this is real as if he was standing right here
in a body.
And I say that because the Bible is true. His intercessory ministry going on right now is as real as if he was right here. Okay? Now, what does he do there in verse 23? He goes, where does he go? Which direction? Up into a mountain. And what's he doing while he's there? He's praying. So in verse 22, you've got, there's his first coming. Verse 23, there you have his present ministry. Folks, before I read on, you know what the future holds. What's going to happen in the future? He's coming back. Look at 24. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, who's in the ship? Disciples, right? Verse 25, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. Wait a minute. Where was he before? To the mountain. Where is he now? He's here. He goes up to the mountain to pray. And he comes down to do what? Rescue. And he just happens to rescue a bunch of Jewish disciples in a ship being tossed about by the wind and the waves, right? Folks, you getting a picture of the future here? He walks with the disciples here on earth. He goes up to pray. That's what he's doing right now on your behalf, on my behalf. There's a day where he's coming back down for rescue's sake. He gives this whole thing right. Look at verse 26. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Amen. And what does he do? He calms the storm there. Only God himself could do that. So I show you that to see he's here, he's up there, and he's coming back. What a great picture of just past, present, future ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I end there because at some time down the road, we'll tackle the office of Jesus Christ as the King. That's why he's coming back. Now, he's coming back at the rapture, but he doesn't come back to earth at the rapture. Appears in the clouds. Comes back to this earth at his second coming to conquer the Antichrist and set up his kingdom. So, I thought that was really something there. So, I ask you a question tonight. I'll just ask a question. I don't want to say hopefully. Do you know Jesus Christ? If you know him, do you know what he's doing on your behalf right now? Do you know what he did on your behalf 2,000 years ago? And maybe you need to reflect on that and think about your role. Hold on now. Your role, if you're saved, as a New Testament priest. Revelation chapter 1. You're not the high priest. It's only one of them. But you know what you can do as a priest? You know what the priest did in the Old Testament? They served. They served in the place where God dwelt. You know what else they did? You can do this too. You can intercede on behalf of people not saved. You can intercede on behalf of people in our church who need prayer. So look to the high priest and then also see if you're fulfilling your role as a priest here in this time that we have a New Testament priest. All right, so let's bow together. Thank you, Lord, for truth. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you that you hear right now our prayers because of the Lord Jesus Christ. It has nothing to do with anything of any of us, and we're certainly not worthy. I pray that we would respond here as the way you want us to respond. Do something with the truth that's been laid before us tonight. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is Pastor Eccleston again. I trust that the preceding message was a spiritual blessing to you. If God has spoken to your heart, I encourage you to respond in whatever area He is leading. You know, there's no more important issue than your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you sense your need to trust Him as your personal Savior, He will save you if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith in His finished work to pay for the full debt of your sin. Please call us or write us or email us in this most important matter or any other spiritual matter. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Are you seeking the Lord? I truly hope so.